I'm Tara Merchant. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, meet me in Alaska. The leaders of the U.S. and Russia set to talk about the war without a key player. All eyes on Texas as the state's lawmakers continue to fight over redistricting. A critical juncture is reached today. 100 days of Pope Leo. As the Holy Father nears the milestone, we take a look at what he's accomplished and what lies ahead. Plus, happy anniversary. EWTN celebrates 44 years on air. We'll show you our celebration and tell you what's to come. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
And thank you for being with us on the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our top story tonight. The world watches as President Trump and President Putin sit down in Anchorage for a critical summit on the war in Ukraine. On his way there, President Trump tells reporters the war's got to stop and the killing's got to stop, and that he's doing this to save a lot of lives. White House correspondent Owen Jensen joins us with more. Owen.
Tara, good evening. Early this morning around sunrise, President Trump posted on social media, high stakes, with three exclamation points. And at stake, trying to end the war launched by Russia back in February of 2022.
After a long flight, President Donald Trump arrives in Alaska to talk with Russia's Vladimir Putin. The two meeting on a red carpet, shaking hands, posing for pictures. Overhead, U.S. military might on display, a squadron of U.S. stealth military planes. And then, driving off together to their summit. Their meeting at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson could determine not only the trajectory of the war in Ukraine, but also the fate of European security. As they meet, the war in Ukraine grinding on, more people killed or wounded in attacks. Earlier in the day, as President Trump traveled to the summit, a reporter asked what would make it a success.
I can't tell you that. I don't know. There's nothing set in stone. I want certain things. I want to see a ceasefire. This is not to do with Europe. Europe's not telling me what to do. But they're going to be involved in the process, obviously, as will Zelensky. But I want to see a ceasefire rapidly. I don't know if it's going to be today, but I'm not going to be happy if it's not today.
And President Trump discussed the tragic human cost, putting it in numbers.
But what I do care about is they lost last week, 7,011 people were lost, almost all soldiers, 36 people in a town which got hit by a missile, but 7,000, over 7,000 soldiers. It's crazy.
Heading into the talks, the summit carries significant risks for Ukraine, especially since Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and European leaders not invited.
Among those joining President Trump in Alaska, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, and Ambassador Steve Witkoff, who earlier met with Vladimir Putin to set the stage for today's summit. Tara, back to you.
All right, Owen, thank you. Well, the Attorney General for the District of Columbia has filed a lawsuit in federal court challenging the Trump administration's takeover of the Metropolitan Police Department. The Attorney General's office argues that the orders are unconstitutional and exceed limits on federal power. The lawsuit came just hours after U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi named DEA Administrator Terry Cole as Emergency Police Commissioner. Tomorrow marks 100 days since Robert Francis Cardinal Prevost was elected Supreme Pontiff of the Catholic Church on May 8th. To mark the occasion, EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settergren takes us back to some of his most memorable and impactful moments.
In just 100 days, Pope Leo XIV has set a tone of peace, unity, and Marian devotion. He began his role as Supreme Pontiff by celebrating his first Holy Mass in the Sistine Chapel with the very cardinals who elected him the day before.
Through the ministry of Peter, you have called me to carry that cross and to be blessed with that mission. And I know I can rely on each and every one of you to walk with me as we continue as a church, as a community of friends of Jesus, as believers, to announce the good news, to announce the gospel.
Pope Leo XIV delivered his first Regina Caeli address from the central loggia of St. Peter's Basilica to an estimated 100,000 pilgrims. To the joy of many, he sang the traditional Marian prayer in Latin.
Laetare, alleluia.
1 week after his election, Pope Leo officially celebrated the beginning of his pontificate with a mass attended by over 150,000 people, including world leaders and representatives of other churches and religions. Already a hallmark of Pope Leo's papacy is his constant appeal for peace, echoing his first words proclaimed as our Holy Father, "Peace be with you."
La pace sia con voi.
The Holy See is always ready to help bring enemies together, face to face, to talk to one another, so that peoples everywhere may once more find hope and recover the dignity they preserve, the dignity of peace.
With the Jubilee year already in full swing upon his election, Pope Leo has taken up the task begun by Pope Francis, marked by countless encounters in the Vatican with various groups. And for the Jubilee of the Holy See, he led the procession himself, carrying the cross like an ordinary pilgrim. Many have been especially joyful to see Pope Leo embrace tradition and revive earlier papal customs. Most evident when the Holy Father celebrated the solemnity of Corpus Christi at the Papal Basilica of St. John Lateran, his cathedral, as the Bishop of Rome.
Christ is God's answer to our human hunger, because his body is the bread of eternal life.
After Mass, around 20,000 people attended the nearly one-mile-long procession from St. John Lateran to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, which had not been led by a pope since 2017. In July, Pope Leo revived a centuries-old tradition, returning to Castel Gandolfo, the papal summer residence outside of Rome, a custom that Pope Francis had set aside. His papacy has also shown a sense of mission, highlighting the social and technological challenges of our time, like artificial intelligence, and underscoring the need of the Church to meet them.
La pace che viene dal Signore.
This emphasis carried into the closing Mass for the Jubilee of Digital Missionaries, where the Pope urged the faithful to use social media as a means of spreading hope and truth.
It is not simply a matter of generating content, but of creating an encounter of hearts. This will entail seeking out those who suffer, those who need to know the Lord, so that they may heal their wounds, get back on their feet, and find meaning in their lives.
So far, the moment many point to as the highlight of Pope Leo's pontificate is the Jubilee of Youth, which brought together thousands of young pilgrims in a joyful witness of faith.
Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world."
During the first weekend of August, nearly 1 million youth gathered in the eastern outskirts of Rome for the final weekend of the Jubilee, a weekend of prayer, praise, and encounters. As the night fell, the Pope led the pilgrims in a prayer vigil.
If you truly want to encounter the risen Lord, then listen to his word, which is the gospel of salvation. Serve the poor, and so bear witness to the good that we would always like to receive from our neighbors. Be united with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Adore Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, the source of eternal life.
And now, firmly settled into his new office, the Church and the world are eager to see what Pope Leo's pontificate will bring. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
For a closer look at Pope Leo's papacy so far, what is signaled to the world and what lies ahead, our own Monse Alvarado recently spoke with our Vatican analyst.
And we're happy to bring on Edward Penton, Vatican analyst for EWTN News and senior contributor to the National Catholic Register. Edward, it's great to be with you. Now, these first 100 days of Pope Leo, what are your thoughts on the new Supreme Pontiff and this American, the Pope of the Americas, they say, but we know where he was born?
Yes. Well, yes, it's been a very interesting time so far, Monsi. Of course, we don't know much about Pope Leo so far because he hasn't had to take many key decisions. I think these are going to come in the autumn. He's going to make some key appointments and so forth. But what we are seeing is very much a change of approach to than compared to Francis. He's very much somebody who wants to bridge gaps, build peace, build unity in the church particularly, but not only there. We've seen him trying to build peace in the world as well. He's spoken a lot about bringing peace to Gaza and Ukraine and Russia.
Absolutely. And I think the second word you use, unity, is also something that has been a really big theme in a lot of his writings and a lot of what he's shared in his catechesis. Well, do we know where he's going to live? It's been 100 days. He's obviously been in the same place where he was before he became a pope. Then he came out to Castel Gandolfo. He's there now. What are we going to see in terms of where he decides to actually rest his head for the rest of his pontificate?
Well, there was talk, Monsieur, I think probably about 2 months ago, that he was going to move into the Apostolic Palace, but they're currently renovating it, I believe, ready for him to move in. So the expectation is that he will move in there in the coming weeks or months. I thought it should have been done by now, but of course, Rome goes very much on holiday in the summer, and I think things are probably being put on hold during the summer. But once the autumn comes, I think we may see him move there.
Now, then Cardinal Prevost was known in Rome. He was obviously someone that was very familiar to bishops, to cardinals. How has he changed in these 100 days? Obviously, the grace of office has to have some kind of effect.
Yes, I think, well, the thing is, he was a bit of an unknown quantity even before, for many years leading up to the election of him as Pope. So there's still a lot that wasn't known. He's somebody who has been said a lot that he plays his cards very close to his chest. So we don't really know what he was like. But we do know that when he was bishop in Peru, that he had a good reputation. He was very well loved. He was somebody of peace and unity. And so I think we're seeing that replicate when as Pope now. So I think there's not really much of a change, it seems, to how he was as a bishop. But well, as I say, we'll see. We'll know more in the coming weeks.
We'll be looking for that, of course. Well, this week you wrote in the Register that the Pope's devotion to Mary is raising hopes that he might proclaim a fifth Marian dogma. Are those hopes well-founded? Tell us, what is it that you found?
Yes, well, this is a thesis, and I think he backed it up with some strong evidence. Dr. Mark Miravalli, who teaches at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and he's very much of the view that because Leo is very much a Marian Pope, he has a great devotion to Mary, that there is a good chance that he could proclaim a fifth Marian dogma, which has been petitioned for many years by all kinds of figures in the church, church leaders and the laity, which is really to proclaim Mary as co-redemptrix, mediatrix of all graces, and an advocate for humanity. And so there is this expectation or perhaps hope that he will proclaim that. But certainly he has a strong Marian devotion, in common, in fact, with Leo XIII, who also was very strong in his devotion to Our Lady. And so certainly that's going to be, I think, another hallmark of his pontificate. And it's very, I think people find it very touching that he does rely on Our Lady very much. And he does talk about basically depending on her, on her protection, on her guidance during this time as Pope. So I think we're going to see more of that going forward.
And like you said, more of the same from the start of his pontificate when he stepped out on the loggia and sang the Salve Regina, an incredibly touching moment.
Indeed.
Well, thank you so much,
yes,
Edward.
Indeed.
It's great to be with you.
Thank you, Monsi. Good to be with you.
And in just a few months, Pope Leo will make his first ever digital visit with the Catholic youth in America. And we are happy to announce that EWTN will serve as the Vatican's exclusive media partner for that event. On November 21st, the Holy Father will address as many as 15,000 teenagers during the National Catholic Youth Conference in Indianapolis. The conference is hosted by the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry. EWTN will broadcast it, stream it digitally, and provide news coverage throughout the event. And we have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including all eyes on Texas. Republicans push redistricting, but Democrats are still out of state. What's next? Join us after the break. Are on Texas as the redistricting standoff is at a critical stage. Republicans are trying to redraw their congressional district maps to give them an advantage in the 2026 midterm elections. House Democrats remain outside of Texas, denying Republicans a quorum. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with the latest. Eric.
Well, good evening, Tara. Yes, the U.S. Constitution requires a census to count the U.S. population every 10 years. That tally is then used to determine each state's representation in the U.S. House. The next census isn't until 2030. But Republicans in Texas are trying to redraw their congressional district maps now to pick up six seats come 2026. The governor of Texas says state Democrats must return back to the Lone Star State and do their job.
Those runaway Democrats are required to act on that agenda. They're failing to do their duty.
Governor Abbott says Democrats are just delaying the process after the special session was adjourned today.
Members, we are about to receive a motion to sine die. Do not go very far, as I believe our governor will be calling us back for another special session.
Governor Abbott says he'll promptly call a new session and his party will refile the bill. Meanwhile, California Governor Gavin Newsom joined the redistricting battle with a plan of his own, which is expected next week.
We're putting the maps on the ballot and we're giving the power to the people.
Democrats say they are pushing for more voters to have a voice.
They're trying to fix these maps to predetermine the outcome of the 2026 elections in favor of a Republican majority.
Now, Texas Senator John Cornyn is following the latest developments closely. He's in a high-stake race to keep his seat in the 2026 midterms. In the GOP primary, he's facing against State Attorney General Ken Paxton. Recent polls show Cornyn is way behind, and this could actually lead to an opening for Democrats. By the way, the Democratic Party has not held a U.S. Senate seat in the state of Texas since 1994, so we're going to have to see how this one plays out. Tara? Yeah.
Never a dull moment, Eric. Thank you. Well, up next on EWTN News Nightly, flipping the switch. 44 years since EWTN launched, we are looking back at Mother Angelica's legacy and ahead to what's next. Plus, a joyful day for the church. We are celebrating the Assumption of Mary and reflecting on this profound mystery of faith. As we mentioned earlier, today is the anniversary of the on-air launch of EWTN. And in the Washington, D.C. studios, there was Mass followed by a Eucharistic procession. Father Peter Tessini led the procession and blessing around the newsroom, control room offices, and back to the EWTN chapel. Well, on this day 44 years ago, Mother Angelica flipped the switch, marking the on-air launch of EWTN.
Name of Jesus, who is Lord, may his eternal word be proclaimed.
And we are so thankful for the work of our foundress that she put turning into a monastery garage into a television studio. Now, EWTN broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to more than 435 million television households around the world. We are honored to continue her work on the first Catholic satellite television station. Recently, Monse Alvarado, president and COO of EWTN News, spoke with EWTN's chairman and CEO about the anniversary and the legacy of Mother Angelica.
For more, we turn to Michael Warsaw, chairman and CEO of EWTN. Michael, it's great to be with you. First off, I know you don't like it when people say or ask you what Mother would have thought, but I have to ask you, what would she think of having an American pope and of EWTN today?
I think she'd be overjoyed. I think she'd be absolutely, you know, over the moon about the idea that there was a pope from America, from the United States. I don't think that's something that she would have ever thought possible. I certainly didn't leading up to the election in the conclave. So I think she would have been very, very happy about that. I think she would have also been very excited and very grateful to God for, you know, what EWTN has become. I think she would look at this moment and look at what the network is in this moment and be very, very proud and very grateful for what God has done through these last 44 years of our existence.
It's beautiful to see all of the young people that have come together in this apostolate and grown within it. We've had changes to the network that we've announced to our EWTN family. And all of that is a culmination of this wonderful grace that came from her faithfulness. Now, as we mentioned, today is 44 years since the on-air launch of EWTN. Can you tell us, where is the network headed?
I think in this moment, you know, we've been so focused on what we call our EWTN Next vision, which is really about how we hand this mission on, how we hand on this gift that was given to us by Mother Angelica, and how we take that to new generations, how we hand that on really to the next generation, and ensure that EWTN continues to have the same impact for future generations that it has had for these past 44 years. I think that's exactly what, you know, Mother Angelica would want and would hope, and I think that she is now, no doubt, doing her most important work for EWTN in this moment, advocating for us.
Absolutely, and we count on that. Now, you have announced some reorganizations, some changes at EWTN with Sean Graber as the new president of EWTN Digital and the launch of EWTN Studios with longtime EWTN faithful employee Peter Gagnon as its president. Can you tell us more about what that means?
Yes, absolutely. This is all, again, part of that EWTN Next initiative. How do we respond to the changing nature of media? How do we respond to the changing way in which not only is media content distributed, but how it's viewed, the style of that, and so forth? And so what we've done is really to align EWTN along two platforms, two pillars, really. The first being content, EWTN Studios, so that all content creation is concentrated in that one area. The second, EWTN Digital, is really about the platforms and the distribution. It enables us to create and build new digital platforms to ensure that the mission of EWTN continues well into the next 45 years.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to that. Now, quickly remind us again of the ways that Mother Angelica remains relevant today, nearly 10 years after her death. What would you say that is?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you watch EWTN or you consume our content online, you know, so many people are watching Mother Angelica today. 10 years after her death, you know, 20-plus years after she ever recorded her last show. And it's amazing to me to see how, you know, her content, her approach is really timeless. And we see that around the world as she's been translated into more than 20 languages and airs in so many different parts of the globe. She has that same impact in those cultures, in those places, that she has in the United States. And that's just extraordinary. And I think it's a sign of just how God's grace given to her, how our Lord was working through her in her teaching, in her shows, all of these things that she did, and ultimately in the creation of EWTN. You know, and as we celebrate this anniversary, you can't sort of not, you know, intertwine Mother Angelica with this. You know, August 15th is the anniversary of EWTN's on-air launch, but it's also the anniversary of Mother entering religious life. And so this August 15th is the 81st anniversary of her entering into religious life, and really how God used her saying yes in that way to bring about this great work of evangelization from a cloistered nun in, you know, the most unlikely place on the planet, Irondale, Alabama.
Well, I can tell you on behalf of everyone here on the team at EWTN News, and of course that you can see at EWTN, we're so grateful for the privilege of being on mission because of her faithfulness and her desire to defend and spread the truth of her church. Thank you so much, Michael.
Absolutely. Joy to be with you.
And as you know, today isn't just a joyful day for the EWTN family, but also for the entire church as we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's one of the four Marian dogmas of the church. We believe that at the moment her earthly life ended, the body and soul of the Mother of God were taken into heaven. Though it's a belief long held by the Catholic faithful, its proclamation as a dogma is fairly recent. Pope Pius XII solemnly defined it on November 1st, 1950. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tara Mergener. Good night, and God bless you.